Welcome to The Apple Seed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and today, a story collected by the brothers Grimm, the great folklore collectors Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm, who spent a lot of the early 1800s collecting and writing down folk tales in Europe. Ever hear the story of Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Rapunzel, Little Red Riding Hood? We know these stories today because the brothers Grimm collected them and wrote them down. Nobody knows who first created and told those stories. They were handed down in kitchens and living rooms and pubs and parties long before they were ever collected by the brothers Grimm. And versions of them exist all over the place, all over the world. They're folk tales. And the story we're going to share with you is not perhaps as well known as some of the others I mentioned, but it's a great one. It's about a bunch of little goat siblings and a dangerous and scary wolf. And you'll love it if you've ever had a mom who saved the day. The storyteller here is the great South Carolina storyteller Tim Lowry, and he told the story in front of our terrific audience right here in the Appleseed studio. Here's Tim with a story called The Seven Kids.
I want to tell you my favorite fairy tale. Once upon a time, there were seven goat kids. And their mama named the seven goat kids Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And one day, the mama goat said to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, kids. She always just called them kids because she didn't want to have to all the time say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Kids, I'm going to take a basket on my arm and trip-trap to the market and buy each one of you a special treat. You stay here in our little cottage in the woods and keep the door locked because the big bad wolf is about. And remember, behave. Well, the little goat kids locked the door, remembering their mother's advice about the big bad wolf. They waved goodbye through the window, and then they forgot all about behave. Soon enough, they were running around and jumping over the furniture and butting heads and having a wonderful time when all of a sudden, their play was interrupted by a knock, knock, knock. A voice on the other side of the door said, "Little goat kids, it's me, your mother. I have a basket full of treats for you. Let me in." I was telling this story at a kindergarten. Little boy looked up and went, "Do not open that door." Those goat kids knew that wasn't their mama. One of them said, "No, no, our mama has a sweet, soft voice. Your voice is not sweet and it is not soft. You're the big, bad wolf. Go away." So the wolf went away and he searched round and round until he found a piece of chalk. And he gobbled up the chalk and he swallowed it down. And that softened his voice. He went back to the little cottage in the woods, and he knocked on the door, and he said, "Little goat kids, it's me, your mother. I have a basket full of treats for you. Hear my sweet, soft voice. Let me in." Well, that sounded like their mother. And the goat kids ran to the door, but then the wolf made the mistake of putting his big black paws in the windowsill that he might pull himself up and see his supper running toward the door. And one of the goats saw those black paws and said, "No, no, you're not our mother. Our mother has a white hoof. You're the big bad wolf. Go away." So the wolf went away to the baker. And he said to the baker, "I hurt my paw. I need some sort of a bandage." And the baker wrapped bread dough all around the wolf's paw. And then he went to the miller and he said, "Sprinkle some white flour on this bread dough." And the miller said, "I certainly will not. You're the big bad wolf and you're up to something. If you don't do it, I'll eat your wife and children." "All right, all right." He changed his mind. He shouldn't have done it, but some people are just like that. After the wolf had his white doughy paw, he went back to the little cottage in the woods and he knocked on the door and he said, "Little goat kids, it's me, your mother. See my white hoof in the window? Hear my sweet soft voice? I have treats for you. Let me in." Well, that sounded like their mother. It looked like her white hoof. And so the goat kids joyously ran to the door. They lifted the latch. It swung open wide. And all of a sudden, it was terrible. He gobbled up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I was telling this story at another kindergarten. A little girl went, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we get it. She was from the gifted and talented class. Yes. But he missed Sunday goat. Sunday goat jumped into the big grandfather clock case where he was well hidden. And there he stayed until the wolf went away. When the mama goat came home and she saw her house a wreck and all of her goat kids gone, she started to cry. But then Sunday goat jumped out of the clock case and told his mother what had happened. And she said, there may be hope for us yet. And she went trip, trap, trip, trap, trip, trap, trip, trap down the path into the dark forest where she found the wolf asleep under a bush, his stomach very swollen. She reached into her basket and pulled out a pair of scissors, and very quickly, she cut a hole in the side of the wolf's stomach, and as soon as she had cut him open, out popped, bleh, Monday, bleh, Tuesday, bleh, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The wolf was so greedy, he had swallowed them all whole. So they were all right. Now, said the mama goat, we have to trick this wolf and make him think that you're still in his stomach. And so the little goats ran around and they gathered heavy stones and they pushed the stones into the wolf's stomach. And then the mama goat took a needle and some thread and stitched him right back up. She was such a good seamstress, you could hardly even tell. And then all the goats went trip, trap, trip, trap home and locked the door. When the wolf awoke, he said, oh, something rattling around on my insides feels like I swallowed a sack full of stones. Must be those goat kids and the rattling of their bones. I need a drink of water. And when he stood up, the heavy stones rattling around on his insides pulled him to the left. Oh! He took a couple stumbling steps, and the heavy stones rattled again and pulled him to the right. Oh! He went down to the river, and when he bent over to take a drink, the heavy stones shifted, and they drug him down. Oh! Splash! And he was drowned. And that was the end of that.
That was Tim Lowry with The Seven Kids, and with all its cutting wolves open to let the baby goats out again and swallowing chalk to change your voice and putting bread dough on a sore paw to make it feel better, it's a pretty typical Brothers Grimm story. And as I mentioned, I like it partly because it's about a mom who saves the day. And when I think about moms saving the day, I think of my mom. And there are a thousand stories of my mom saving the day by giving me good advice or helping me with my homework or taking me to my Little League baseball games or making delicious meals or giving me a hug when I needed it most. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But at least once, my mom saved my actual life. As a toddler, I had toddled right over the edge of the swimming pool in my grandparents' backyard. And just like the wolf in Tim's story, I sank like a stone. It's my earliest memory, just an image, really, of the bright sun coming down through the dappled blue water of the pool as I looked up at the surface, getting further away from moment to moment. And then an enormous sound, a splash, and a breaking up of the surface of the water in a sudden cloud of bubbles, and that was my mom jumping into the pool after me with all her clothes on. And she caught me up in her arms and took me back to the living, breathing surface, and I did not drown. Now, I know that this might just be due to the distance of many years, but in that early, early sense memory of looking up through the water after having fallen into the pool, I don't remember feeling any panic, only a kind of silent fascination with the sun on the water, even though I was really in mortal danger. And maybe that would be a pattern for the kind of saving the day my mom would do throughout my whole childhood, seeing the danger even when I didn't see any myself, even when I might have rushed nonchalantly into the jaws of something that would eat me right up. My mother was there, seeing more than I could see, letting me walk on my own, of course, building my own life, but saving the day again and again. And that's where Tim's story took me. Where did it take you, and who will you take along?
There's a lot more coming up, but I wanted to introduce you to another show from among the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called In Good Faith, and it's a podcast in which host Stephen Cap Perry talks with a different person in every episode about their walk of faith, their faith tradition, their relationship with the divine. And whether you want to strengthen your own faith or just listen to thoughtful conversations about religion and about a walk of faith with a terrific listener, that's Stephen Cap Perry and In Good Faith. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube, all kinds of ways to listen to In Good Faith whenever you like, whenever you need it. It's another great podcast from BYU Radio. We're so glad to have you with us today on the Appleseed Podcast. And now for our next story. There's an old song called Straighten Up and Fly Right, written by the great Nat King Cole in 1943. It was a big hit, recorded by artists like the Andrews Sisters and Ella Fitzgerald, and of course Nat King Cole recorded it too. It's a song about a buzzard who gets more than he bargained for when he gives a monkey a ride on his back. Nat King Cole based the song on a sermon he heard his father preach. And the sermon, as it turns out, was based on an old folktale about a buzzard who gets his dinner by taking unsuspecting little critters for joyrides and then gobbling them up. But then along comes that monkey. Well, the folktale is what you'll hear today, told for you by the St. Louis storyteller Bobby Norfolk, who makes it all his own. Here's Bobby with Straighten Up and Fly Right.
Once, out on the Serengeti, ooh, it was 110 degrees Fahrenheit. Ooh, those animals in that heat. I'm melting. Help me. I'm melting. Big puddles of sweat was running across the ground. You could see the heat waves coming up from the ground. Jibbity, 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 jibbity. Elephant, rhinoceros, hippopotamus, crocodile were in the mud up to the eyeball. Man, we're not coming out of this mud until nighttime. See, the mud kept them cool. The animals, they had the leaves. Oh, man, it's so hot. I wish somebody would have been air conditioning. Every animal was seeking shade but monkey. He was the only animal in the open field looking up at the sky, talking about uh-oh. Monkey saw an object in the sky. Black dot coming down. When the black dot came down, visible, it was buzzard coming in for a landing. He landed. He looked around. The first critter he saw, rabbit. Hey, rabbit, hot day, ain't it? It's hot, man, it's hot. It's too hot, baby. Yeah, whatever. Hey, rabbit, would you like to go for a nice cool ride up in the sky? I don't have wings. How can I do that? Buzzard said, I got them. Hop on my back, bunny. I'll take you up. Boom, without thought. That rabbit hopped on that buzzard's back. That buzzard took off in the air. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Up 20 feet, he landed right there on the air current and started riding, gliding. How you like it back there, rabbit? I like it a lot. It's nice and cool up here. Kind of far to the ground, though.
I know that's right.
Hold on, rabbit. I'm going down for a dive. That buzzard stopped. Eat. Did a roll down. Rabbit said, woo-hoo. And down he went 100 miles an hour. That rabbit said, yahoo! All of a sudden, the buzzard did a rollover. He didn't have seat belts. Y'all know what happened. Wah! Pow! Hit the ground. Flatter than a pancake. Oh, but that day, everybody looked around on the Serengeti. Piece of rabbit over there. Piece of rabbit over there. Rest of him down the street. Oh, it was not a pretty sight. Oh, but that evening, Buzzard had rabbit stew for dinner. This is good. Need some paprika. And as Buzzard was having his rabbit stew, the monkey watched. Second day, same thing happened. Monkey was looking up in the sky going, and all of a sudden the black dot came and started descending to the ground. Lower and lower, Buzzard came in again. He saw Squirrel. Hey, Mr. Squirrel, come here, come here. Hot day.
It's real hot. I can't cool my witch's tail off, so hot.
Hey, Squirrel, want to go for a nice cruise ride up in the sky?
I don't have wings. How can I do that?
Buzzer said, I have them. Hop on my back, Squirrely. I'll take you up.
Okay.
Without thought, that squirrel hopped on that Buzzer's back. He took off in the air, everybody. Whew, whew. At 20 feet, he leveled off. He started riding on the currents of air.
How you like it back there, Squirrel? I like it a lot. It's nice and cool, like you said. Kind of far to the ground, though.
I know that's right. Hold on, Squirrel. I'm going down for a dive. That Buzzer stopped it. He just rolled down. And Squirrel said,
this does not look good.
And down he flew. That Squirrel said, yahoo! All of a sudden, Buzzard turned upside down. Seatbelts were still not in place. Guess what happened to Squirrel? Pow! Hit the ground. Flatter than a pancake. Oh, it was a horrible sight. Oh, but that night, Squirrel was now soup. Squirrel soup is good. It needs some oregano. And as Buzzard was having his squirrel soup, the monkey watched. Third day, same thing happened. Monkey was scanning the skies with his eyes going, uh-oh. The black dot appeared again, everybody. Coming down. Whew, whew, whew. Buzzer coming in for another landing. Wah, wah. This time he landed in front of Monkey. Hey, Monkey, come here, come here. Hot day, ain't it? Monkey said, yeah, it's quite humid. Mm-hmm. Would you like to go for a nice cool ride up in the sky, Monkey?
Monkey said, I don't have wings. How can I do that, Buzzard?
I got a Monkey. Hop on my back, I'll take you up.
Monkey thought, okay.
He hopped on that Buzzard's back. And the Buzzard took off in the air, everybody. Whew, whew, whew. At 20 feet, he leveled off. He started riding on the currents of air. Whew.
How you like it back there, Monkey? I like it a lot. It's nice and cool up here, like you said. I like to feel the breeze across my knees and the air blow through my hair. But it's kind of far to the ground.
I know that's right. Hold on, Monkey. I'm going down for a dive. You'll really catch a breeze.
That Buzzard stopped it.
Did his roll down in. Monkey said, woo-hoo, and down he flew.
And Monkey said, yahoo!
Oh, but that's a conjunction. But before the Buzzard could turn over this time, the Monkey reached back. He took his own tail. He wrapped it around the Buzzard's neck three times. He said, hey, it's time for you to straighten up and fly right.
Every time Buzzard tried to go down, the Monkey said, straighten up and fly right. He flew Buzzard all over the continent of Africa.
He flew Buzzard across Cairo, Egypt. They saw the Great Pyramids of Giza. Down, 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 down,
down, down, down, down, down, down, down. They went down Morocco through Algiers, went down the Ivory Coast, went to Ghana, West Africa on the Gulf of Guinea, went through the interior toward Nigeria, went over Mount Kilimanjaro. Buzzard, man, I'm getting tired.
Monkey said, go down somewhere. I mean, choking on me and stuff. I don't need this. Buzzard landed as soft as he could. Get off. Monkey unwrapped his tail. He dismounted. Hey, thanks for the ride. See ya. From that day on, Buzzard became scavenger and not predator, which means to this very day, when y'all are driving these roads, you see these big old huge black birds circling. Usually in Missouri, they're turkey buzzards. and they wait for you all to run over them on the highway. What's that squirrel? Keep rolling. That's how they feast. And as a scavenger, Buzzard knew in his genetic makeup, he must always straighten up and fly right.
Monkey saving the day for all the critters in the forest by straightening out that mean old buzzard. That was Bobby Norfolk with Straighten Up and Fly Right. When you think of the person in your life who most often saves the day, who is it you're thinking of? Have you ever found yourself in a position where you had to save the day? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on a show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, @byu.edu. Now, we always love to hear from our listeners. Tiffany Flavel left us a comment saying, "The Appleseed is relevant to all generations. What a brilliant art form to share. Grateful to be able to hear these storytellers on your podcast." And gosh, thanks, Tiffany. We're so grateful to you for listening. And we'd also love to hear from more of our listeners. Feel free to leave us a comment. We want to thank Tim Lowry and Bobby Norfolk for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, and Brian Tanner. Assistant producers include Garrett Gunnell, Carrie Griggs, Kay Hendrickson, and Nico Wetzel. And our post team is Trent Reimschussel and DJ Cromartie. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcasts, Kaboom for original audio adventures, and Wink, stories for better bedtimes. All our podcasts can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, leave us a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed. If you're looking for a podcast the whole family can enjoy, you're going to want to check out Constant Wonder Kids. Now, Constant Wonder Kids takes stories from the Signal Award-winning BYU radio podcast Constant Wonder and transforms them so kids can join in on the adventure. Constant Wonder Kids turns everyday moments into extraordinary nature explorations designed for curious kids and the grown-ups who love them. Together with Paige, the host of Constant Wonder Kids, you can discover fascinating facts and true stories about amazing people doing incredible things in nature. Join Paige as she takes you on a deep dive into the ocean to meet an unexpectedly friendly whale shark, or cheer on tiny athletes at the International Hedgehog Olympic Games. Constant Wonder Kids is perfect for road trips, bedtime listening, or when your brain's got an itch that just needs to be scratched. New episodes drop Mondays. Tune in to Constant Wonder Kids on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts, including BYUradio.org and the BYU Radio app. Constant Wonder Kids. Don't miss it.